I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, the ET Yoga audience is probably used to hearing shows with jam-packed with information, and I don't think this evening will be any exception to that. I think it'll be up to standard. We're going to be finishing off kind of a workshop on amazing healing techniques. We'll be talking about the crystal skulls, hot tips on reality creation, and lots of, I think, some cutting-edge ideas and that probably most of our audience has not heard of before. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner with a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition, and that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari.
Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om. Hari Hari
Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari. Oh.
That was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. Swami passed on in 2002, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, I would like to also state that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's to be consistent with developing sovereignty and your own self-empowerment and the ability to not only create positive health, but also to deal with issues that arise. And certainly mean that with all sincerity. I applaud your efforts. And speaking of ET Yoga audience, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. If you're new to the program, my show is on every other week, so I'll not be on the Christmas weekend, but the following. And the last program, which was on December 3rd, basically, you could call it a workshop on healing and health. And I think if you go back into the archives, and you can do so by going to BBS Radio, or you can go to my website, which is at etyoga.com. And if you go to etyoga.com, on the main page, there's a highlighted bar there that says Radio Archives. You just push that one button, and you automatically go to about the last 10 programs of ET Yoga, and look up the date of the program that you wish to hear. And there's no charge of any kind for that service. And then you can go over some of the information at your leisure. Many people have told me that when they do listen to the program, they like to have a paper and pencil handy because I do tend to have a machine gun approach towards information, and lots of information will be coming your way. And you may want to research some of that at a later time. Also, for new listeners, my name is Charles Maxwell Green. I've been doing ET Yoga for about 10 years. And how do we get started with ET and yoga together? Because yoga on this program is all about the real yoga, which is union of you and your higher self. And the whole idea of the program was to share information about a spiritual journey and to share tips and concepts, ideas, techniques, and also extraterrestrial channelings, and that's the ET part of it. And in my opinion, much of the positive ET groups that are out there that have been channeling information to us for quite some time now have assisted in the endeavor to enhance who we are and to help us to attain our higher selves and connections with our higher selves, and thus the marriage of the concept of ET and yoga. And I appreciate that there are different branches of yoga, but in the West, most people typically think of yoga as just the hatha yoga or the postures or pranayams or kriyas or cleansing exercises. But in point of fact, that's just one branch of yoga. And Sri Swami Satchidananda actually taught integral yoga, which contains six branches. So I'd also like to mention to the listening audience that I'm very much receptive to your comments concerning the concepts that I present on the program. Nothing makes my week better than to hear about your successes utilizing techniques or ideas and concepts that you picked up on the program. So if you'd care to share that information with me, you can contact me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'd like to begin this evening's program by sharing an idea I heard actually just today from a channeling of Palladian information, Barbara Marciniak. And by the way, for our new listeners, my personal background is with Sri Swami Satchidananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi, and Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, on the yogic side. And on the extraterrestrial side, I tend to be focused with information that comes from Pleiadian, Arcturian, Andromedan, Esasani, and Sirian information, primarily from those ET groups. And in this information from Barbara Marciniak, she gives the following advice: to forgive yourself, especially when you realize that you have created a violation of some kind or were violated, and to not play the role of a victim, but love yourself and forgive yourself, and make wise choices, find a purpose in life, improve your life. And she suggests that you're here to see the bigger picture. And every person on earth has screwed up at one time or another. And if you carry these wounds forever, you'll be dealing with them forever. So learn from your decisions and lessons. Find out what you need to change and move forward. And I think those are pretty good words of advice. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I kind of was given a total workshop on healing and healing techniques, and of course, in a one-hour program, sandwiched in between two other shows, there was actually a little bit too much information to get into that time slot. So I'd like to continue on in the train of thought of some amazing healing techniques. And this necessitates me mentioning Hira Ratan Manik, and that's H-I-R-A Ratan R-A-T-A-N Manik, M-A-N-E-K. And he's got some amazing videos with respect to sun gazing, which can be equated with solar healing. And according to Manik, the brain remains dormant without the sun. Sunlight has to reach the brain, and it reaches the brain through the eyes. And we must be careful how to do this. And his suggestion is 1 hour from sunrise and 1 hour before sunset, because at these times there is no ultraviolet. And he also states that the health of the eye improves through the process of looking at the rising or setting sun. You don't have to change anything else in your life. You just add gazing. And his suggestion is you look at the sun the first day for 10 seconds only. And you can even look through a window. The second day you increase to 20 seconds maximum and increase 10 seconds per day. And it might be cloudy, and you may miss some days because of, you know, weather conditions, but the process is cumulative. And at the rate of 10 seconds per day, after about 3 months, you'd be at 15 minutes. And if you have your eyes tested as a prescription, like glasses or contacts, you'll find that this will change. And you'll get the results yourself, and he suggests you don't tell the eye doctor how you did it. And then another wonder takes place, and some of the software of the brain gets activated. The mind becomes balanced, and then you become positive in thinking. fear falls away, even the fear of death, and you also develop willpower. You become peaceful and mentally healthy, and diabetes and other ailments just go away. And I might add that I have started the process, and I'm up to about 100 seconds. And to be very forthright, I was kind of scared at the beginning to look at the sun. And I guess it's through conditioning from childhood that, you know, all these fears about the sun. And in fact, I really look forward to this process and finding, again, the time that would be either at sunset or sunrise, which hasn't been convenient lately, but intend to definitely continue the process. And now very comfortable, gazing at the sun. And I should also point out that I've never been involved with using these horrible sunscreens and buying into the fear of sun. I do use olive oil, and water. And that's all I use as a protection. And I find it to be super effective, and I can stay out in the sun for hours and I never burn. So I would highly recommend olive oil and water, just to mix and spray it on. And it's been proven, if you really want to do the research, you can get out there and look up that these sunscreens actually promote cancer. So I'd stay away from them. And actually, there's another article with by Zen Gardner at zengardner.com. Talking about the ancient practice of sun gazing. And many proponents of this ancient technique are used by many cultures, such as the Mayans, the Egyptians, Aztecs, Tibetans, and Indian yogis report not only healing benefits to common illnesses, but obtaining superhuman abilities such as advanced telepathy and going completely without the need for food. During the first 3 months of practice, the sun energy is moving through the eyes and charging the hypothalamus tract. The brain then becomes activated by the energy supply being received by the sun. At 3 to 6 months of gazing, the studies show that physical diseases start to disappear. They say that by the time one is gazing 30 minutes per day, building up 10 seconds per day, all the colors of the sun will have reached the brain. Color therapists attribute their healing of certain diseases to flooding the body and brain with the particular color that is lacking, depending on the ailment. For example, in liver disease, the color green is deficient. The kidneys need red and the heart yellow. All of the organs and all of the systems are said to respond to different colors of the rainbow, which is why it is also recommended to eat a diet rich in a variety of colors. It is recommended during the 3 to 4 month period that you use auto-suggestion to see your body already healed of any perceived weakness or disease. This action will facilitate the process of returning to wholeness. By 7.5 months of gazing, now at 35 minutes, the need and desire for food is dwindling, and according to sun gazing experts, food is not actually needed to maintain the body, only energy, and sun eating provides that energy. By 9 months, all taste for food, including aroma, all hunger pains and cravings disappear, and those that make it this far say that they report a noticeable change in the way their brain feels, like it's charging up. After 9 months of sun gazing, reaching a maximum of 44 minutes, it is advised that you give up sun gazing and redirect your attention to the earth. And for 6 days straight, one is to walk barefoot on the earth 45 minutes per day. And during this barefoot walking, the pineal gland is said to become activated. Professional sun gazers and those researching the science say that each toe is connected to a specific gland, and by walking barefoot on the earth, you activate these glands. The big toe is thought to be aligned with the pineal gland, the second toe to the pituitary, then the hypothalamus, hypothalamus, and finally the pinky toe correlates to the amygdala. Walking barefoot with the sun now falling on the top of your head, practitioners claim to create a sort of magnetic field in and around the body that recharges you and your brain. And apparently this walking barefoot part is the most important aspect of the practice. As you continue walking on the earth, this is when the magic really begins. The pineal gland is activated more and more by this walking procedure. And the intellect is said to increase along with memory. The pineal gland has navigational and psychic capabilities, meaning telepathy, and the possibility of flight. And if you can walk 45 minutes every day for a year, you are considered golden. At that point, only a maintenance of 3 to 4 days a week is necessary to maintain the capabilities you have acquired. And NASA has actually studied Hirohitan Manek, and his whole process is called the HRM effect for Hirohitan Manek. And quite amazing subject. And when we talk about healing and we talk about, you know, some of the high costs that sometimes are associated, here's one that's no cost. No cost, no brainer. Another, what I find an amazing tool that's out there are the Egyptian healing rods. I've been using these for about 10 years as well. The rods are energetically conditioned in a 72-foot-high pyramid outside of St. Petersburg, Russia. The rods and the energy of the pyramid based on sacred geometry become synergized, making them powerful healing and transformational tools. And they are cutting-edge technology of the 21st century, rediscovered from ancient Egypt. And if you've seen the old pictures of the Egyptians holding what they thought were scrolls, turns out they weren't scrolls, they were Egyptian healing rods. And with regular use of the rods, the blood flow increases, the mind becomes clearer, and vital energy becomes more balanced. A more powerful biofield is created around the body, shielding it from negative energy. And as the body heals, the rods add increased benefit of improved vision, healing, sense of smell, general sensitivity, and enhanced intuition. The immune system becomes strengthened, and all the body systems work at a more optimum level. Mental and psychic abilities such as telepathy, clairvoyance, and a connection with the flow of life force are more easily attained with the use of Egyptian healing rods. The effect of the pyramid on a field structure of any object, regardless of whether it is mineral solution, organic substance, or living creature, causes serious changes within this structure, and such structures seem to be put in order to become more optimal and harmonic. And being resonators, the pyramids also appear to be antenna or a system that transfers energy from one dimension to another. And the pyramid being an antenna and resonates at the same time is also a retransmitter of particular energetic flows connected with some processes taking place in space. And these rods, together with the pyramid and appropriate preparation, allowed the pharaohs and priests to contact the what's called the noosphere and were used for communication with the gods. Recent research has shown that in an area with a concentration of pyramids, seismic activity diminishes. More precisely, instead of one powerful earthquake, there are hundreds of tiny ones. Also, in the atmosphere above the pyramids, the state of the ozone layer improves. Additional findings indicate that burial of radioactive waste in pyramids loses its toxic properties. Agricultural seed treated in pyramids result in about a 30 to 70% yield increase. Diamonds synthesized from graphite stored 1 week in a pyramid are more pure, hard, and more perfectly shaped than usual. and water stored in pyramids retains its properties for years. And there's a Valerie Uvarov, that's U-V-A-R-O-V, interview at Project Camelot. He mentions that the rods were developed partly because of a huge increase in cancer in the general population. And the rods were known only to a narrow circle of initiates in ancient Egypt. And their history goes far back to the depths of centuries, and the origins the origin of them is really covered by a thick curtain of mystery. And the distribution of the rods means we are living in a crucial time on the eve of a new era. And certainly, in this regard, Russia is leading the way in this spiritual technology. I highly, highly recommend you check that out. Now, I've shared this before on ET Yoga, but it's called the Great American Rat Experiment. And I think it's quite fascinating and certainly consistent with information that I'm familiar with respect to diet. And here's the Great American Rat Experiment. Group 1 is fed a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains, beginning at birth. And this group grows into healthy, affectionate, disease-free adults. Group 2 is fed the equivalent of the standard American diet, meat, milk, candy, lots of fats, pastas, and breads. This group grows into vicious, nervous, cruel, disease-ridden adults. They suffer from cancer, heart disease, and a host of other illnesses. The third group is also fed the standard American diet. This group suffers the same diseases and displays the same temper as the second group. Here's the amazing part. After the equivalent of 40 human years, the third group is switched to a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and nuts, and they turn into healthy, happy, disease-free specimens within 1 month. And if you want to see what I think is the best, well, the best I've ever seen a video with respect to the effect of animal fats on the human body, there's one on YouTube by Dr. Michael Clapper, that's C-L-A-P-P-E-R, which totally destroys the myths of needing meat for protein and lots of other, I think, cutting-edge ideas. So I'd highly suggest you may check that out with respect to any kind of dietary changes. I'd also like to present a couple of amazing bits of information. Dr. Yuki Nina, that's N-I-N-A, a Japanese researcher, studied more than 500 different antioxidants over a period of 30 years. And he found the most powerful and effective antioxidant of all those tested is an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation called Amrit Kalash. That's Amritkalash. Research shows that the antioxidant capabilities of Amrit Kalash are at least 25,000 times more powerful than those of vitamin C and E. Taking it is like supplying you with a Star Wars deflective shield. And this astounding ambrosia is composed of 44 different herbs and fruits that seem to work synergistically, enhancing the natural strength of one another's antioxidants. It's also called a rasa yana, or that which negates old age and disease. Research has shown in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, patients who received this improved significantly on an age-related alertness task. And another, what I think, amazing herb is called haritaki. That's H-A-R-I-T-A-K-I. And it is, according to Swami Nityananda, it's the drink of the gods, and that which heals all diseases. And this wonder medicine removes the body's toxins in a natural way and makes one more energetic. It also purifies the blood, removes fat residues from the arteries and veins. It heals diabetes. hypertension, and heart problems. It helps the vision to become sharp, and no wonder. It provides the body with 300% more oxygen, and taking it is the equivalent of 2 hours of pranayama per day. And the suggestion is 1 tablespoon before going to bed. And if you take a big tablespoon, I suggest you make sure you're near a toilet that day, especially the first day. Okay, I'd now like to kind of switch gears because I want to bring up some information regarding the crystal skulls. And if you don't know about Bashar, Bashar is an Essasani, now called Shukani because they moved up one dimension. But Bashar is channeled through Daryl Anka, and the website there is www.bashar.org. And the crystal skulls go back further than Central and South American civilizations. That's where the skulls were found, not where they originated. Like, according to Bashar, 13, 17, and even 30,000 years ago, they were present during the culture of Atlantis. And some were transported to other locations, which were safer, during that fall, and they operated until about 10,000 to 7,000 BC, and where utilization of these devices lessened due to information and culture change. And there were only a few individuals who maintained the knowledge, and it became a lost art form. And there were 13 masters who each created one of the master skulls. The significance of the coming together of the 13 skulls is related to the coming together of the 13 masters who created them. It is representative of the idea of pure transformation, and it allows for a true unlocking of the reality, and a new reality can be crystallized. And that is why the number 13 is considered a transformational number. Did each skull have a unique signature and quality? Well, according to Bashar, yes, similar to the master who created it. And some of the ideas like transformation, expansion, balance, manifestation, etc. These individuals all had a common dream and found each other through synchronicity. They met in the dream world and then in the physical world, and they were given a gift from spirit. And it would allow great facilitation of transformation to higher levels. And they are all key to each other, no matter how far apart they are. Closer distance can amplify their power, though. There have been many changes since their creations, and some cultures even forgot about them, and they were buried. And now we're tapping into the ancient memories. Each of the skulls has special powers, and are used in magical rituals and healings, clairvoyance, and paranormal activities. And some believe they can be used as a door to the other side. That would be to unlock the secrets of the past, the present, and the future. And one of the people that's in the possession of one of the skulls was asking Bashar advice as to how to utilize it. And he said that you look into the crystal side inside the cavity, and inside the cavity is a large crystal within the big crystal. And it represents the corpus callosum of the brain. And to the left is a small crystal, and that is glassy and more clear than the other and represents the pineal gland. And by allowing yourself to touch both with two fingers, you can form a neural link with them. you can download information very quickly, but have a specific intention or question in mind before you touch the two nodal points and see what you get in 15 seconds or less. Practice this until you get answers in 15 seconds or less. You will get something eventually, and it is a connection to the Yael, the first ET civilization that will have open contact with Earth in this era. And according to the timeless enigma of the crystal skulls, information from Archangel Metatron, as channeled by J. Tiberon, and that's T-Y-B-E-R-O-N-N, the original skulls came from another world and another reality. Then the skulls were brought to Earth from Arcturus and the Pleiades into the land that became Lemuria. It contains within it the model of the 12 strands of DNA. The crystal skulls contain within them that which you were before the human experiment and what you will become when you complete it, the infinity circle. And another connection here, aside from to the Yael, and I'm going to spend a moment here talking about the Yael, because a lot of people don't seem to be familiar with this term. And, okay, there was a mile-wide craft shaped like a boomerang that flew over the state of Arizona. I'm trying to remember the year, if it was 1989 or 1998, one of the two, I think. But if you look up the event known as the Phoenix Lights, okay, that was a craft from the Yael. So the Yael are already here. And it's not that they've just been seen in Phoenix. They've been seen in different places over the planet. Around the planet. But I think it bears a little bit of discussion here to mention that the Yael, they're kind of involved with this whole process of the Greys and the abduction, well, I guess it's called the hybridization program, but in point of fact, it's the abduction program. Because a lot of our DNA was eventually used to create some hybrid species that are a combination of gray and human. And actually, Esasani are the result of some of that experimentation. And it gets kind of way out there when you start thinking about how some of this is possible and how certain people seem to be suspended in time for a certain number of years in order for them not to age according to Earth years, because there's apparently lots of hybrid children aboard some of these craft that the Yael are flying, and there's lots of parents that are living on the Earth at this time that people, probably maybe in dream state, you may have been contacted by children that may be connected with you, both males and females. And I would suggest if you're interested in this area, you go to hybridcommunities.com. That's hybridcommunities.com. And there's lots of people now are starting to link up with their hybrid children. And the kids are quite advanced. And they look more human than gray. They tend to have larger eyes, but not like the gray's eyes. They have really beautiful, big eyes, but beautiful by, I think, our standards. And the term Yael, actually the Shalanaya call the Esasani call the Yael the Shalanaya. Shalanaya meaning those who will come first. And you can also get confirmation of that from YouTube channelings and programs by Adronis. And that's A-D-R-O-N-I-S. And if you look under Adranas, you'll also see some connections here. The only other place that I've actually seen a confirmation of this first contact scenario that's going to be with the EL. I mean, the EL are going to be the first ones that are going to be contacting us. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, hard to pin Bashar down to something that's he's giving out his information that's not correct. Very difficult. If I was a betting person, I'm betting on Bashar to be correct with this as well. It'll be the Yael that are going to have first public contact. Now, when that's going to be, my guess, probably some about 10 years from now. That'd be my guess. Reason being, there's going to be lots of contact happening with in isolated areas with certain specific people, reconnecting some of these hybrid children with their Earth parents. Also, I think there's going to be some more contact with ETs enhancing starting next summer. And I think that, you know, for those people that don't believe there's ETs, well, you can believe what you want, but it won't be too far from now before it won't be up for discussion anymore. I mean, it's gotten to the point of it's almost ridiculous that, you know, as a society, we don't want to accept a concept unless, like, we hear it from some official government source, and then now it's okay to believe it. I find that whole thing just kind of ludicrous. But anyway, bottom line is there's supposed to be, I believe, this coming spring, another flyby of the Yael, possibly over the Phoenix area as well, or Arizona. So should be interesting to look out for that one. Now, the other connection here is that these crystal skulls, are, as Bashar says, are connected with the Yael. And when he started mentioning these things like transformation and manifestation and whatever, ooh, that connected with me, and putting together the dots, I mean, those are what's called the sacred circuits. And if you do some research and you check under sacred circuits, you're going to find that there are 15 symbols originating from the Syrians that can bring you improvement and enhancements. And they come via Bashar, and it's called sacred circuitry. And the symbols allow the brain to rewire itself so it can function in accord with the shapes viewed. And so you can function more holistically about yourself and all that is. And according to Bashar, when you're utilizing these 15 symbols, you are forming a relationship with a sentient tool, an aware being, an autonomous being, and it will begin to talk to you and understand these symbols as beings. And the suggestion is that you meditate on each of them in order for 1 minute each, 15 minutes in total, 3 days in a row, and each day the same. And after that, you can use them as you wish, but only for 15 minutes a day. So another little tidbit from ET Yoga to kind of point you in a kind of an interesting direction. And I'd also like to give a plug here for Erica Rock. And that's R-O-C-K with respect to her Andara crystals. And Erica states that the Andara, and that's A-N-D-A-R-A, Andara crystals are new, and they're here to help us with the shift and awakening. And they were found in a field of ethereum or white powder, which contains monatomics. And by the way, I've written articles called Monatomics, the subject that nobody seems to know anything about. I don't know if everybody in the world's been brainwashed into not talking about this, but I mean, it's probably, well, it could be even the most important subject that's even out there. Monatomics, high spin electrons, they don't attack disease, they just reprogram it. It's connected with longevity. It can be connected with all kinds of things. I mean, if you want to learn more about monatomics, go on the internet and go to David Hudson Lectures 1, 2, and 3. That should get you started on a very fascinating journey. And they also, these Andara crystals, create a direct link to source energy. And they have an extremely high electron spin rate, which elevates consciousness and increases your vibration. And the time between conscious thought and physical manifestation decreases. And you can insert your intention into the stones. And they're sort of a next stage of evolution. They're totally magical. They help you open up so you are receptive to receive what you truly want. And they help you to meet any discordant energies. Help you to melt away any discordant energies. And probably people who work with Andara crystals now have worked with them before, like in Atlantean times. And you can also go to YouTube, where there is the title is Initiation in the Atlantean Pyramid. And that's a meditation, and you do actually, in this mental meditation, you receive a crystal which helps you remember who you were in Atlantis and how that is relevant today. So I would highly, highly recommend you check into Andara crystals. It's just one of those things that I think, you know, you put one under your pillow at night, and they tend to be very effective assisting in the dream state. And I get people writing me all the time saying thanks for pointing me in the direction of Andara crystals. So there's another little hint, I guess, to follow up on. And with respect to reality creation, again, taking a little page from Bashar, he states that you must see the reality you prefer as now existing in the moment. Then it will become tangible in your outer reality. A radio uses a channel tuner to select and receive any one particular station, and out of all the programs that are simultaneously existing all around the radio. Likewise, there are infinite probable realities that we could receive and experience at any moment. How do we select which ones of these we wish to pull to the foreground to experience? Well, we select and receive specific versions of reality by our beliefs. We select and receive by our 100% trust in what we know is so. And, of course, taking a page from Bashar, it's our beliefs, our definitions, our emotions, our intentions that create the outer reality that we experience. And he even actually gives the physics of how that works by stating that each belief that you have gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies, and these frequencies then attract by sympathetic resonance those holograms vibrating in the same frequency. And that is, out of the background of universal matrix of infinite possible holograms, those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequencies as the frequencies of your belief get pulled out from this matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experiences that you then sense as real, that you sense as objective reality. So each belief is a unique set of frequencies which is a template that determines which holograms you attract into your experience. And we know from science that our universe is basically like one giant hologram reality computer program. And the program functions with consciousness, and the language of interpretation is belief. And with respect to a kind of a hot tip around the whole concept of reality creation, I take that from Adamu. That's A-D-A-M-U. You can look that up on YouTube. And it's in his YouTube video called Intention. And I think this is really a reason I'm sharing this with the audience is that so many people, they get involved with the concept of trying, which is not a good word to use to begin with, trying to do reality creation. And the first place they start is trying to win the lottery. And, you know, even The Secret, when it came out, there's lots of really good things about The Secret, and they bring out some really, really good points. But there's, to my point of view, there's just too much emphasis on money. And Adamu says that 90 to 95% of humans, when they're asking for something, they're asking for big money. And he gives some pretty good insight on this concept that he's saying that it's all based on the belief that everything you want and need can be obtained if you just had enough money. And people are willing to do anything to get it. And what he states, though, is that you also get all kinds of painful, unintended consequences of winning that much money. And it can be more of a curse than a blessing. And I know people don't think of it that way. And, for example, he says their entire social structure is destroyed by envy and jealousy and greed and the inability to be able to trust your friends, and even the family unit can be twisted and destroyed. And how, for many people, their life just loses purpose. And basically, he states it's an ego wish for greater disparity between oneself and others. I mean, if everyone got millions, then those millions aren't worth anything. Money has value because of its scarcity. So his suggestion is to align yourself with universal will, or align yourself with your higher self, and avoid unintended negative consequences. So, you know, my suggestion with respect to reality creation is to start by placing positive spin on anything that you view as a negative. Once you start getting a handle on that, and you start to see that it works, first, that's going to blow your mind, because you're going to start to see that this Bashar information and the physics of attracting holograms, that it works, and it's a mind blower. So I highly, highly suggest you check out the whole concept of any time you view anything as negative, change your definition to positive, even if you don't see any possible good that can come from it. Throw a nice positive emotional spin on it, then log it and wait and see how it turns out. And some things, you know, do take longer than others. Some are more long-term, but some things you'll start to see right away. And to me, that's the way to go. And as usual, about this time of our program, I'd like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'm now going to share with you the Who Am I technique, and a little bit of an explanation here from Sri Ramana Maharshi, because he says that for the subsidence of the mind, there's no other means more effective than self-inquiry. And this is the direct method. And when he was asked why self-inquiry alone could be considered the direct path to realization, he said, because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it's never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch a thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And the process would be to place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then when you are that spot, ask yourself, who am I? And there's no right or wrong way to do that. Do it as many times or as few times or as slow or as fast as feels comfortable for you. And then when you're totally centered and you become that spot, then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.